Aoife Mullen is waiting on the line. Aoife informed me that it is in fact Lord and not Lordy. So you're much more au fait with kind of the pop culture. So Lord, yeah?
Yeah, Lord.
you kind of think maybe perhaps that crazy Eurovision band are back. But alas, no, they're not, unfortunately. So Aoife, you're the editor of The College View, which is the DCU student newspaper, a newspaper that I used to work on myself. Aoife, tell us a little bit about the newspaper.
Okay, so we're published every second Wednesday. We have 12 issues per year, 6 per semester. It's independent from any control in DCU. We're published by the Journalism Society, but the editorial team is completely independent. And we put it together over 2 nights, usually Sunday, Monday, send it to the printers Monday night.
So are you currently very, very tired?
We didn't really have a late night last night, so I'd say tonight will be the later night. I know last year they had a couple of nights where it was 6 o'clock Tuesday morning when they were sending to the printers. It has to be at the printers for 9 o'clock Tuesday morning for it to be delivered on Wednesday. So yeah, sometimes it can be a bit disastrous when the design software crashes and we have to start over again. So,
Aoife, the glamorous world of the media, huh?
Exactly. It's good training though. And it's always a good buzz then when you see the paper out on Wednesday.
Exactly. And the one thing that always stands out about the DCU College View is that it's immaculately put together. I mean, you would actually think this is a professional team of, you know, adults putting this. I mean, you are all adults and you're all very professional, but it looks so polished. It looks so professional.
Yeah, and we have a really, really good production design team, Marie Lecoq and Rachel McLaughlin, and they're brilliant. The effort they put into it, and you wouldn't believe how long they will spend on making a word look right and twisting it this way, twisting it that way. I have the biggest rent of respect for them for the work that they do.
It's fantastic. It's kind of a labour of love, I imagine.
Exactly, yeah. No, we really love doing it. Like, we don't mind the late nights when you see the paper on a Wednesday and, you know, it looks really good. So, yeah, no, it's all worth it.
And, of course, all the articles are written by students within DCU, is it?
Yeah, mostly journalism students, but we'll let anyone write for us. Anyone's welcome to write for us. And it's really good training because we have the journalism program here, and then we get a lot of communication students as well, some politics students and international relations, and we've really good photographers as well from communications course. So yeah, all the articles are written by us, most of the photographs are by us, and it's produced by us. It's 100% DCU students that bring it all together. So, you know, it's for when you see it all and you see that it's just, you know, students training for what they want to do when they graduate, it's pretty decent.
It's very good. So you're going to tell us some of the stories that are affecting students, like locally, nationally, and also internationally at the moment. And of course, one of the biggest ones, of course, it's affecting everybody, is the budgetary impacts on young people.
Yeah, so the budget was last Tuesday, and there was a number of different measures affecting young people. The job seekers allowance is being cut from 144 per week to 100 euro per week for people under between 22 and 24. So that brings it in line with people aged 18 to 21. And you'll have to wait now until you're 25 if you want to see your rise in your unemployment support. There's also 25 million being cut from the third level education budget. And it's the first time in 5 years that the maintenance grant isn't being cut. As the Department of Education put it on their Twitter page, they described it as Minister Quinn protecting the grant, which I found rather amusing. on a grant. And they're also really coy not to mention the contribution fee, because that's being increased by 250 euro.
What is the contribution fee? Sorry, Aoife.
It's the student contribution. So you don't pay full fees for third level education. You just pay the contribution fee. Unless you're on a grant, you don't pay it.
Okay.
I'm not quite sure with the increase. I think it could be 2,500 or 2,750. But basically, they're putting it up 250 euro a year to have it as 3,000 euro in 2015.
Right. Now, Joan Burton has also come out, and she has defended particularly the social welfare cuts, saying that young people belong in either work or education. Now, I mean, most people, when they go through and they get their degree, they generally come out the other end at about 22. You know?
Yeah.
You know, there's 3 long years there to 25 when you're considered, you know, eligible for your full unemployment support. I mean, what are the people's views now coming out after finishing their degree when, realistically, the amount of work available to them is quite minimal?
Well, we vox popped some DCU students to see if they're planning to stay in Ireland after they leave DCU. And we got really interesting responses. But the main response we got from people is that they're planning on leaving, not because they need to leave to get a job, but because they want to. Because they just don't like the whole the negativity in Ireland and they don't want to pay taxes here. And it's just really interesting to see that students don't feel like they're forced out of Ireland. They just feel like they want to leave. They don't want to be here.
That's very interesting to see that there's just kind of a growing disgruntlement, really.
Yeah.
That's very, very interesting, because you'd expect that most people would be, you know, the images that were kind of being forced out, whereas a lot of people are actually leaving of their own volition. And of course, in DCU, there's a lot of very active political societies. Have you been in touch with any of those?
Oh, yeah, we've been in touch with the three main ones, DCU Young Fine Gael, DCU Ogre Fianna Fáil, and Labour DCU. And we got all the chairs and the national vice chair of DCU Labour. He's the national vice chair of Labour Youth. He's a DCU student. And we got them to write their response as an opinion piece on this issue. So that'll be out on Wednesday and you'll be able to read them on our website.
Very good. What is the website, Aoife?
It's thecollegeu.com.
Very good. Of course, in the news very recently as well, it was the referendum to abolish the Senate. And of course, we've decided that we're going to keep it. So hopefully that there's going to be some reform going into it. Have you looked into this in any way?
Yes. So third level graduates in Ireland are going to be able to vote in future Shannon elections. The Taoiseach announced the U-turn that legislation has been prepared to extend voting rights to all university, all third level graduates in Ireland at the Fine Gael Parish Conference in Limerick a couple of weeks ago. He was pretty adamant in during the Shannon abolition referendum campaign that there wasn't going to be any reform, but he seems to have backtracked on that now because, you know, it's what people want. So currently, there are six members of the Shannon are elected by university graduates, and currently three members are elected by Trinity College and three are elected by the National Universities of Ireland. So they're made up of UCD, University College Cork, NUI Maynooth and NUI Galway. It's really long overdue legislation. The referendum to bring in the legislation was passed in 1979, so it's 34 years later. We have an opinion piece by Professor Gary Murphy in this issue. He's the head of the School of Law and Government in DCU, and he's also a member of Democracy Matters, the group that campaigned for Shannon reform. And he describes the 34-year delay as a political tragedy dressed up as a farce. He also points out that the move doesn't go far enough to combat the elitism of the Shannon, and he calls on further reform.
So do you think that a lot of students, a lot of DCU graduates and other graduates that don't fall within, you know, the NUI grouping, do you think that they were quite, you know, annoyed at being kind of left out? We've got our third level education, we've got our third level degree, and we can't vote for this.
I don't really know. And that's another, we have another piece in our feature section, this issue and whether or not students are actually interested in politics nationally.
Which is a very interesting route to go down, because we're seen as very apathetic.
Yeah, that's it exactly. And like, I know when there's referendums held in DCU on student issues, the turnout for voting is very, very low. They barely get over 10%, which is quorum of the quota. And yeah, so it's very
upsetting. We'd laugh at the 30-odd% that come out for, you know, a national referendum.
Yeah, no, it's very low. Like, we had a referendum last year on taking a stance on abortion, and it's a thing that a lot of students are interested in, and yet the turnout is just very low. Now maybe that's the thing within DCU, that the campaigns aren't done properly, they're not publicised enough, so it'd be very interesting to see how DCU students actually respond to national issues and whether or not they will vote in the Shannon when they leave.
Right. Okay, Aoife. One last story as well that you've been looking into is student grants and assistance funds.
Yeah, so SUSE, the Central Processing Grant System, was a complete shambles last year. And first-year students who've already had their applications processed for this year are going to get their first instalment on Friday. So we decided to take a look at SUSE and how they're doing compared to last year and see if they've learned any of their lessons. Interestingly, during the summer, they promised to have all their applications processed before the students started back in September. They're claiming now that they're 2 months ahead of schedule compared to last year, but they still have to process half of the applications. So we spoke to some DCU students who are waiting on their grant, and we got some heartbreaking stories. We have one student who's taken out a loan from the credit union to cover the cost of college, and they're waiting on their grant, and the money that they saved up for college during the summer is now tied up in the loan. So they're kind of in limbo. And another student is considering dropping out of college because she just can't cover the costs while she's waiting on the grant. A lot of students have complained to us that it's very difficult to get any information out of CSE when their applications are being processed. So it's very difficult to find out, you know, if their application's being processed, what kind of stage is that, when they're going to get their first payment. So, it's very difficult if you're a student in DCU and you're left without money and you don't know how long you're going to be left without money. So we decided to take a look at the Student Assistance Fund here to see how many students have applied because they're under such extreme financial pressure.
Is this an in-house fund within DCU?
Yeah, it's funded by some... I don't know where the money comes from. I think it's funded by some EU project.
Right.
Each college has a Students Assistance Fund. The name differs from college to college. But in DCU, it's called the Students Assistance Fund. And basically, students apply, and it's a very rigorous process. It's sort of, when you fill it in, it's sort of like the information that you give to CSE for your grant application. And this year, applications have risen 40% compared to last year, and 700 students have applied for financial aid. And it's just to cover non-academic expenses such as rent, travel, food, medical bills. And if you're lucky enough to get it, you get €500.
Okay.
But you have to provide all your receipts for where all the money goes.
So really?
It's very by the book. Yeah, it's very by the books. And like, interestingly, compared to CSE, the Students Assistance Fund in DCU, they don't take into consideration fixed assets.
Okay.
Which is interesting. So yeah, you get €500, which is interesting because if you're living away from home, it's estimated that a student's total expense for a month is €950. And if you're living at home commuting to DCU every day, you can be expected to fork out €500 a month. So, you know, you might get €500, but it still barely covers the costs that you have.
It's it's amazing that you have to provide receipts for everything.
Yeah. No, it is. It's very by the books. They want to make sure that you're spending it on the, like, they're giving it to the students who need it the most. So they want to make sure that they're spending it on what they really need, and it's not being spent on drink or having a good night out.
I mean, that is part of the student experience as well, and it does make sense to do monitored, because I mean there could be some people that could take this money and just go absolutely wild, and then they're back to square one and then some. It does make sense for them to monitor it. It does seem a little bit big brotherish though to monitor down to receipts.
But I can kind of understand it. I mean, when you have 700 students applying to it and you can't give it to every single student, you want to make sure that you're giving it to the student who, if they don't get it, is going to drop out of college, and not the student that, you know, if you give it to them, they're just going to go out and have a really good night out on €500.
Well, Aoife Mullen, thanks so much for joining me here this morning. You're the editor of The College View. You'll be joining us again the next time, then on Monday week, because next Monday is a bank holiday, and you'll be popping into us again. Probably you'll be quite tired. You'll have another production weekend as well. But we'll account for all of that, Aoife. Thanks so much for joining me this morning.
Perfect. Thanks a million for having me.